because it's Independence Day, and I specifically like to use that word rather than July 4th. July 4th is, it's important, but Independence Day. It is for freedom. And that's what this sermon is really all about. And the text will be Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And Ivana, I'm going to wreck your world for just a moment. The next song, you know it by heart, so. But freedom, and if we think about that word, or independence, and Christ spelled it out in Galatians chapter 5. But if we go way back to the 1500s, as the Puritan people in England were seeking to be separate from King George and that realm within England. And as they kept pushing against his reign of tyranny and all of the things that were happening. And it wasn't just there, it was largely throughout Europe. The Netherlands was involved in much the same way. But finally, in the, and I should have looked up the dates specifically, but in the mid-1500s, the Puritans finally left, departed London and that southern part of England and pushed south to the coast. And they were chased by the king's soldiers and taken prisoner. Many of them never made it out of prison, but some of them did. And eventually they got to board a ship and they made it to the Netherlands. And they spent a number of years in the Netherlands trying to get to this country. So this is well before 1600. And finally, they get a group together and they gain passage on two ships, the Speedwell and the Mayflower. And they come to this country. And you know the rest of the story. And many of them died when they came. That first winter was incredibly brutal, and they perished. And some went back eventually, but many stayed. And that number dwindled. But that grew, and others came. And that history began to foster the birth of a nation. And our founding fathers took that and continued to grow that into using the Magna Carta that was written in Scotland and England many years earlier, centuries earlier, to create the Declaration of Independence. And those 56 men that signed that document knew that putting their signature on there, should they be caught, would guarantee their death. And they chose to engage in that. And so they did. And I think all of the 56, all but nine, were able to keep either their families or their businesses or their home, but all of the rest either went to prison, were hung, were shot, died of starvation, died in complete abject poverty. Many of them died totally away from their families that they had lost. And so it was a horrific ordeal. Freedom, what it means. Would you persevere to that point? Could you persevere to that point? We use that word and we talk about it flippantly, or abjectivity and don't really think about the price that was paid by those men and many others around them. There were many supporting cast members who helped them and what they endured. And the army in that first winter, what many of them didn't have shoes, and what they endured at Valley Forge and the freezing weather and so on. And if you really, if you're a student of history, and if you're not, I would really encourage you to go back and look at that. But what those men and their wives, their families, their children, and eventually what the entire continental U.S. at that time, as it was known, as war broke out, all the things that happened. But what freedom truly means. And none of them would choose to go back. They died in support of what they were after. And they got that idea from Galatians chapter 5. I mean, there are many, many other verses as well throughout the Old and New Testament. But this primary text, if we look at it, and let's start there, in Galatians 5, 1 through 15. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? The persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view but the one who is disturbing you. The one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this text. The text that sets up the division between Judaism and Christianity. The separation from following the law and living by grace. Freedom. In its early days, it surely held a different connotation, and it has twisted and it has morphed in this nation especially. And many try to take it as something different. But Lord, lead us back. This nation was founded at your command because it could not have been in any other way. We just give you praise for what you have done. And not just this country, but all of Christendom and what it means through all of history to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And many have abused that for their own purposes, for their own pride, their own glory, and gone astray. And they will have to stand before you and pay that price. But Lord, as we evaluate our own hearts, in what way are we enslaved in and of ourselves today? Yes, there is a portion that can be discussed by the government and government law and government regulation and being enslaved to some of those practices. But what is of more importance? How are we dealing with sin in our own lives and walking in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that you have called us? Open our hearts and minds to what you want us to know, what you want to teach us, where you want to challenge us, where you want to deepen our walk and our faith. We just pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So in that first section, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith walking through love. Are you enslaved today? If so, would you recognize it? Is there a sin that has you constrained, or that you're battling? And we all sin still. None of us are perfect. Not until we step into heaven and abide with our Lord and Savior. But are you being hindered in any way today? And that's a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for people to jump up and say, yes, I've committed adultery, or I've committed drunkenness, or I've robbed whatever. And I don't think we've got anybody in that category. But what other sins are out there? Anger, hatred, jealousy, pride, any of those. Christ uses the word freedom, eleutheria, means slavery or bondage. And you bring that word bondage into the picture. Is there something that has you that you cannot break free? And I don't have my cell phone on me, and I don't want it on me. But is there something on that cell phone that has you in bondage that you just cannot get away from? And it is a great device. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of good things that come with it. And not just in telephone, but what you can look up, what you can research, all of those things. But there's also a lot of junk that comes at you through there. Have you become entrapped and just can't break free? And it may not be pornography. It may be something else. But you just can't get away from that. And so you're held in bondage because of that thing. John 8:31-32 says, and then also followed up by verse 36, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And if you have received Christ as your Savior, you have been freed of all of that sin. That's not to say that you will not encounter additional sin as you continue through life. You will. And you still may become held in bondage by something, even though Christ now owns you. And how do you deal with that? Why do you fall back? Why do any of us fall back? One, partly because we are human, and our sin nature is still there, even though we are now in Christ, and He is our Lord and Savior. In our new self, once we step into heaven, our new body, that we will gain when we are resurrected, will be totally free of that. But there is a prince of the air who is currently on the throne in this country, in this world, that is directing those things, those evil activities. God has given Satan a time to be in that position. And all of us battle that. But Romans 8, 15 and 16 says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. That is who we are. But Paul goes on to say, but if you receive circumcision, it is of no benefit. What's he talking about when he throws that sentence in there? It's not physically the act of circumcision. That's not what he's discussing. It's the act of, you have received Christ, but now you're turning and walking away, going back to something that you knew previously. For the Jew, it was going back to Judaism. For you, for me, maybe it's going back to whatever you practiced before. Maybe that's Buddhism or something else that you were following. And you're choosing to say, well, this Christian life, it's just not all it's cracked up to be. I was looking for wonderful miracles and the money. What's that phrase? That many pastors are teaching, the health and wellness philosophy. You know, I was looking for that because you're dealing with maybe some disease or something that you were born with and you're wanting to get rid of, and God has not answered those prayers, and He may never. And so you're saying, yeah, this Christ thing, it's just not there. I'm not buying it. I'm going back. Why did you do that? And that's what Paul is saying. If you go back, it is of no benefit. You have chosen to walk away. You're continuing to pursue the law. And that's what many in the Galatians church at this point in time, they were wanting to go back. Many of the Galatians were not Jews. So Judaism was not part of who they were or what they were, although they were choosing to live with the Jews that were there in their community and to be like them. And they wanted to go back. You have been severed from Christ. If you seek justification by the law is of no benefit. It will have nothing to do for you. What should we be doing? Waiting for the hope of the righteousness in Jesus Christ is what we should be doing. That's what we should be pursuing. Acts 15, 10 through 11 says, now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way as they are also. Are we putting the grace of God to test in our own lives? And challenging what God is trying to teach us? Or are you persevering and pushing on in the grace and the mercy in which God has given you? It's freedom. And continuing to pursue that, not going back to what was there previously. Galatians 7 or 5, 7 through 12. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Who hindered you? What hindered you? Do you even know that you are being hindered? Are you blinded? We had a Bible study this past 3 or 4 months and talked about spiritual warfare and got into a lot of that. And sadly, most people don't recognize that they have stepped into that world or they have welcomed evil forces into their own, or allowed even evil forces into their own heart and into their own mind. And don't recognize that those forces are now controlling their life and what they're doing and leading them into further walking away and failing within the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't go there. Resist that. The Satan will, he is like a roaring lion who is seeking someone whom he may devour. And if you give him that opportunity, he will take it. So who hindered you? As Paul asked that question to the Galatians in the church, there were brothers who had come from Jerusalem and other parts of the world who had come into that church to say, no, you can't walk away from Judaism. This is your history, even though many of those people were not Jews. But you have got to follow the law. And many did. They turned away and went back. Instead of choosing to say no, Christ has called us to freedom. Christ has called us to grace. Christ has called us to mercy. And it is that that we need to follow. Galatians 1, 6 through 7. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And out there right now, there are a lot of different versions. One of the biggest is replacement theology. Have you heard that term? There are many out there saying that the nation of Israel is no longer God's people. It is the church. And I completely, totally disagree with that. That is from the pit of hell. Israel is still God's chosen people and will always be. Yes, John 15. What does John 15 say? We have been grafted in. The Gentiles have been grafted into the body of Christ. And so, yes, with the Hebrew people, we are now brothers and sisters in the gospel of Christ, but also the Jew must accept Christ as Savior just as we must. There's no separation between the two. Israel still holds her position as God's chosen people. We are grafted in and are similar. We are the same in Christ. And we will be in heaven, just as anyone who believes in Christ will be. But there will come a time, and I believe the verse is Zechariah 14:2, all nations will surround Jerusalem and will attack her. And that is very late in the eschatology timeline. So yes, this nation will fall at some point. Right now we're seeing this great revival and changes that as Christians we love to see, yes. But at some time that will come to an end. And Israel will stand alone. But replacement theology is not one of those that the church should endorse. We should run away from that in a heartbeat and denounce it. And there are others. Many that are trying to get us to, you know, that God was not man, that God can be woman. That is another one of those that's from the pit of hell. So you've got to be very, very careful in terms of how do you read this? How do you interpret? Staying true to the word and what God has always called us to be. And that's what Paul is saying. I'm amazed at how fast you went away. Why did you believe that? It sounded good. I can remember a few years ago, there was the worship of laughter. And I think it started in Canada. But churches would just start laughing hysterically. And the whole service would be nothing but laughter. The word was not preached. There may have been some song and that kind of thing, but then someone began to laugh. And it just became pervasive. And many churches went after that and said, look at how wonderful, look at how fun it can be going to church and doing this. Brothers and sisters, how could you ever fall to that? How could the body of Christ ever come to that? And I've seen videos of worship, I think it started in Texas, with snakes. The snakes were brought up and worshiped at the altar. There are some perverse things that are out there. And Paul is saying, how could you go back? How could you turn to something different? How could you fall away? This persuasion did not come from him, and him is capitalized there. Who calls you? Who calls you? Who has called you? God, right? That's how you came to know Christ in the first place. The persuasion to fall away did not come from God. It came from somewhere else. And what was that somewhere else? It was the pit of hell. It's the satanic kingdom that is alive and active and trying to reclaim as many lives as it can. Even though you may know Christ as your Savior, and we teach eternal salvation in this church, that your salvation is not in danger. But what you may endure as a person, if you choose to engage in some of those things, what you're going to walk through. And I've seen some of our brothers and sisters, not in this church, but go through that. And just the torment and the evil that you deal with, that you were not meant to go there. You were meant to walk in joy and in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, not in torment, not in evil, not in fear, because we are to fear nothing if we are in Christ Jesus, right? And so don't give opportunity for evil to creep in and take hold and change who you are. The church in Corinth, as Paul was witnessing to them and teaching to them, they had a brother who was living with his mother in an incestuous relationship. And Paul asked the church, a little leaven leavens the whole dough. Oh, why do you keep that person here? You should cast him out until he repents and returns. And they were welcoming into their congregation. And they said, no, this should not be. We need to clean up our own house and judge those who are within our house. We're not to judge those on the street because they're not saved. We are to bring them to salvation first. But we are to cast out the one who is living in immorality. And he goes on to say, I have confidence in you in the Lord. The one who is disturbing you will bear their own judgment. And they will. God will hold them accountable. Because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we have done and how we have lived. But it's the cross to which we're called. The cross is the stumbling block to those who don't know Christ, who don't want to come to know Christ. For those of us who know Christ, it's not a stumbling block. It's the cross of glory. But to the one who doesn't, it is a stumbling block. It is a point of failure. 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. To those who don't, to the Jews and Gentiles, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. Those who don't know Christ and don't see the cross and what it means. And you probably have had some of those conversations. The person that you're talking to at work says, that's just Christianity, that's just stupid. Why would you follow that? That's just ancient whatever. It has no meaning. And all you've got to do is look at history that's going on today and know that it has tremendous meaning. And what God is doing around the world, what God is doing here in this community. And so to finish up, 13 through 15. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. What activities, what attitude are we embodying within the church? Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity of the flesh. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be of sober spirit, but be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, but resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Through love, serve one another. How do we serve our brothers and sisters? Missions, evangelism, feeding the poor, working at ShareHouse, teaching, VBS, worship. The list goes on. There's countless multitude of ways to do that, right? Helping your neighbor, loving and honoring your parents or your family members within the body. We all have gifts. We've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit to serve in some capacity. How do we do that? And that's one of the things that we're going to start this fall, as I talked about earlier, discipleship. What do you do with that? What that gift that you have, how do you use it? How do you define it in a deeper walk with Christ? Christ may not be calling you to the mission field. VBS, we talked about this whole week about missions and those missionaries that God called and where they went around the world. And we even had on Tuesday, we had a young man come from Fort Collins, and he brought a spear from the tribe in Ecuador that murdered the four men on the beach, Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and his friends. And that spear was made by one of the men that was on that beach, who would later come to know Christ. And he also had a blowgun. And it was fascinating to see that. And to hear how this 30-something-year-old man that's now in Fort Collins, how he got to meet the families of those Indians. And the family, and Nate Saint's family, his extended family. And I misquoted last week and said that Steve Saint was one of those. Steve wasn't. Steve is Nate's son. But it was just amazing how God has used different people down through the ages to pull these people together. And what the gospel of Christ is doing amongst that entire family and that tribe within the Amazon rainforest. But God may not call you to the mission field. He may call you somewhere else. He may call you just right here. And that's totally okay. But what are you doing with that? Take care that you do not bite and devour those of the body of Christ. What does that look like? Pride, selfishness, greed, anger, hatred. That list goes on and on and on. Is there something in your heart that you have not confessed or not given or that you have surrendered? As we talked about earlier, what has hindered you that you've not surrendered this? That you're not walking in grace and mercy as Jesus Christ has called you? We all sin. Romans 6:12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Walk in freedom. Those that died for this, the founding of this country, who strived for hundreds of years to get here and to create, would they go back? No, they didn't. Would they want us to go back? Not on their life. They gave everything they had. And some of you in this congregation that have served gave of your time and service, and you know those who did give their life, that we would have the freedoms that we have. Praise God for those men and women that gave that, that were willing to sacrifice all that they had. What's the so what? The disciples would not dare return to Judaism. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometimes and look at all of those stories of those 12 men and how they died. Would they have surrendered and gone back? No. Look what they endured. Crucified upside down, ran through with spears, burned at the stake. Any of those horrific means, but they died knowing that Christ was resurrected from the grave. The founding fathers of this nation would not do the same either, nor the Puritans. They would not go back to King George. They died surrendering their homes, their lands, their families, that we would have this nation. They would not go back. Many think freedom is a set of laws and standards that we must live. And yes, there is that. We do have to live that. But it's greater than that. It's more than that. It's being chosen by a Savior and responding to that calling, no matter what the cost, no matter what the direction, no matter what the place, and being willing to give everything you have to obtain that, for a gift that is greater, that is in heaven. Romans 6:16-18, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that through you, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Does freedom mean that to you today?